The problem with the cost of living crisis for people is that it's not over. Yes, prices has come down a little bit. Energy prices and food prices have come down. But the problem is that they are still very high with respect to pre-COVID times. And so people are still suffering. And the poor households are the most impacted. Yes, because, you know, food is the major expense for the poor households. So when prices go up, whatever, 10%, 15%, they have to stop doing other things because they have to eat. So what do? They stop going to school for children, or they stop the health expenses because they cannot afford it, and malnutrition because of bad nutrition also happens, because you start to buy things that are cheaper but not necessarily nutritious. And it's so unfair to people, yes, because they have nothing to do with the situation. They only, you know, receive the impact of bad decisions at the global level.
So what is the United Nations doing to help the most vulnerable people on the planet affected by the global cost of living crisis?
The first layer of support is the humanitarian, yes? When people go hungry, when there is famine. But we know that what we have to do is to prevent it because we cannot get to billions of people. And that's what we have been doing with the Black Sea Initiative and the Memorandum of Understanding with the Russian Federation. What we tried is to bring food and fertilizer back to the global markets. And we did. There will be almost 1 year since we started this effort. More than 32 million tons of grains have gone through the Black Sea corridor from Ukraine, and also the exports of grain from the Russian Federation have gone up, as have fertilizers. But still, prices of fertilizers are too high for small farmers. So we are very worried that small farmers cannot buy fertilizers, so you will have a second round of crisis because you will have food going down in the countries that needs it most.
Okay, so you mentioned the Black Sea Initiative, the Memorandum of Understanding with the Russian Federation. So I think everyone would obviously want to know next, what's the state of play? Is it something obviously that's on your mind all the time? Are you in constant discussions?
Yes, we are. You know, from my side, in the negotiations with the Russian Federation, they have been in Geneva not 2 weeks ago, and we probably will go to Moscow before the 18th of July to continue the negotiations. I have to say that the negotiations are tough, that perspectives are not so good. There are things that are very difficult to solve, and there are many actors that have to come in to be able to solve these problems. But the UN will not spare any effort in trying to make this continue working for the future.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Let's move on quickly then to some more infrastructure reform, maybe of the international financial system. And countries have been meeting in Paris at the summit for a new global financing pact. Do you know what the consensus is, really? And what's your message been from UNCTAD about how we need to help these emerging economies get more access to international finance so that they can develop?
Well, the issue of the financial architecture and the financial system in the crisis and the impact that it has on poor countries and poor people all over the globe is very important because it's not dissociated from food, yes? The food crisis and the financial crisis are two faces of the same coin. You know, for example, in a country that the dollar has devalued, so food goes up even if international prices go down. So there is this double burden on the low-income countries and the poor countries. I would say in the developing countries that don't have reserve currencies to be able to protect themselves. So in Paris, we discussed that. We know that this is an architecture that was built in 1945, yes? And the world is very different today. And it's a system that, if not reformed, will reproduce the asymmetries that we see today happening. You know, developing countries being hit very deeply and strongly from the hike in interest rates by the reserve currency banks, the US, the UK, Europe, because they have a problem of inflation. But when they do that, so they hit the developing countries that are importing the inflation problems that we have in the most developed countries, yes. And we don't have the global safety nets that we need to really help countries face these challenges. We need more liquidity, we need more investment, and we need a better way to deal with the debt problem that we are living through.
Absolutely. But was there a consensus that this needed to happen?
Yeah, there is a consensus that something must be done. The solutions have to be pushed. But there are certain things that happen that I think that are good step forward, let's say. On the one hand, for example, the push for including clauses on climate change and climate disaster. For example, the small island developing states is a very important step forward so that there will be a standstill in interest rates if that happens. The World Bank, for example, the new director of the World Bank said that they will also have a standstill on debt service when that happens and that they are willing to take that decision. So that is an important thing because the contingencies that the developing countries are going through with the climate change crisis are very real. So these are good news. On the other hand, I have to say that the reform on the multilateral development banks to scale up investment and to capitalize the multilateral development banks that can have a bigger impact on investment and the transformation investments that we need for the transition to a more climate resilient economies. I think that need still more work, and also the whole issue of a debt mechanism that will be quicker and better, you know, for the developing world.
Of course, it's urgent, isn't it? This is affecting the most vulnerable right now, and they really do need our support. Don't we need more radical measures? Something like taxing the petrol companies?
I really believe that the voice of the Secretary General in the Paris Summit was one of the most important voices that was heard. And his voice was very clear. We need to reform the international financial system. The second thing he said is as important as the first. That is, that will take time, but there are many things we can do right now to ease the pain on the most vulnerable of the world. And those decisions have to be taken by the same countries that were in the summit, by the countries that have the voice in the boards of the IMF and the World Bank. And they have the power to act. So we need their will to act. And the voice of the Secretary General defending, you know, the most vulnerable was really the most authoritative voice that we heard in Paris.